what I want to do is, I want to this morning try to prove to you by the Word of God that the people to whom Paul is writing the Ephesian letter were those that are seen in Acts 19 as opposing him at that time. They were worshiping an idol. And I want to try to prove to you by the Word of God that the issue in the book of Ephesians is not between circumcision and uncircumcision. That the issue here is that the body of Christ is already there. I want to try to prove to you that the body of Christ was formed during the period of time in the book of Acts. Jew and Gentile became a corporate body. They were baptized by the Spirit in the one body, equal in that body, but the Gentiles, such as these that are referred to in the book of Ephesians, at that time did not have the gospel preached unto them. Now, they could go to where that gospel was being preached and get it, but no one was taking it unto them. The point being that when Paul went to Ephesus, Paul went into the synagogue of the Jews and preached in that synagogue. After they blasphemed, he went into the school of Tyrannus and he taught in that school for 2 years. These Ephesians who were worshiping in the temple of Diana, they could have left their idols, they could have repented and turned from their idols, and came to where Paul was and acknowledged the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They would have heard the gospel that Paul preached. They would have had the privilege of being saved. My point is that at that time, Paul was not going to idol-worshiping Gentiles that were outside the promises. That's what I want you to see here. That's what I want to prove to you if I can. Now, if I fail, that's all right. There are those today that say that I'm wrong about this. They say that the issue in the book of Ephesians is circumcision versus uncircumcision. I say not so. I say the issue is Gentiles outside the covenants being allowed by the gospel to be in the church, which is the body of Christ. That they're put into the body of Christ by the gospel, not based upon their covenant relationship with Israel. Now, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time, the time of verse 12, is time past the verse 11. But at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, and having no hope, and without God in the world. Now, once again, verse 11, and I'm going to skip over, I'm going to read the whole verse. Wherefore remember that you being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. In other words, if they would have been allied with Israel, if they would have blessed Israel, feared God, worked righteousness, blessed Israel, then they wouldn't have been without Christ in time past. Why were they without Christ in time past? Because they were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and when Christ came, he came unto his own. And so these people were out of the picture. Why? They did not worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They worshiped their idol. Therefore, they had no association with the first coming of the Lord, with the coming of Christ at that time. Now, go to Acts 19, verse 8. Paul goes to Ephesus. All right, in Acts 19, verse 8. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Please observe that the emphasis that Paul is using here is the coming kingdom. He's emphasizing the kingdom. I want that to stay in your mind. I want you to think about that the rest of the time here. The kingdom. How would an individual be in the kingdom? How would he have a part in the kingdom? I want you to think about it. Those Ephesians to whom Paul wrote the letter could have no part in the kingdom. Why? Because they were not allied with Israel. Who would be in the kingdom? Those allied with Israel, and I want to prove that to you by the scripture. All right, he's preaching concerning the kingdom of God. Verse 9. But when divers were hardened and believed... By the way, before I go too far here, just a minute, before I get too far, hold on to Acts 19 and go to Matthew, and look in Matthew 21. In the context of Matthew 21, they are rejecting Jesus Christ, and he gives them a parable. But in the parable, he quotes from Isaiah chapter 5. Notice in Matthew 21:33, hear another parable. There was a certain householder, which of course is Almighty God, which planted a vineyard, has to do with the nation Israel, hedged it round about and digged the winepress in it, which would be Jerusalem, built a tower, let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. The husbandman took his servants, beat one, killed another, stoned another. Again he sent other servants more than the first. They did them likewise. Last of all he sent them his son, saying, they reverence my son. But when the husbandman, nation Israel, the priest and the leaders of Israel, when the husband saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him, cast him out of the vineyard, and slew him. There's the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 40. When the Lord thereof of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They say unto him, he will miserably destroy these wicked men, and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him their fruits and their seasons. Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, of course, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you. The Pharisees, the scribes, the leaders, the priests and whatever, the leaders of Israel, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. Turn, please, to Luke chapter 12. All right, in Luke chapter 12, he's talking to his disciples. Verse 22, he said unto his disciples, and he begins to tell them, don't be worried about your life. Don't take thought for your life, what you'll eat or drink, or this, that, and the other. God will take care of you. Now, verse 29, seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, talking to the disciples. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So the context is the coming kingdom, and the 12 apostles are going to sit on 12 thrones in that coming kingdom, according to Matthew chapter 19. Now go back to Acts chapter 19 again. In Acts chapter 19, verse 8, he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. In other words, the kingdom was going to come, and he's preaching about it. Verse 9, but when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus, and this continued by the space of 2 years and on and on and on. All right, so Paul, while he's in the kingdom, is talking to them about the coming kingdom, and he's talking to them about Christ reigning in the kingdom and their position there at that time, and on and on. But they blasphemed. They spoke evil of that way. And so he separated the believers, and he taught them for 2 years. Now, he leaves, and then he returns. Notice in Acts 20, verse 17. Acts 20, verse 17, and from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. I'm saying that the elders of the church of verse 17 are elders of a church established in Acts 19, verse 9 and 10. In other words, the church was established in a school, and Paul taught them for 2 years, and so he comes back to the seacoast there, Miletus, and he called them together, Acts chapter 20, verse 18, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I've been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord, and on and on he goes, and then he leaves them, and they don't think they're ever going to see him again. Notice in verse 36, when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down, prayed with them all. They all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more, and they accompanied him unto the ship. Now, so I'm saying unto you that the Ephesians, basically, to whom Paul writes, are Ephesians that at that time in Acts 19 were without Christ. Why? Because they were not allied with Israel. They were aliens from the Commonwealth of Israel. They did not meet with them in the synagogue. They met in the temple of Diane. They were worshiping the idol gods at that time. They did not worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Therefore, they were without Christ, without God, and without hope. Why? Because the only hope for them was through the gospel that was being preached at that time. Paul was preaching that gospel, and they could have no hope outside that gospel that Paul was preaching. And so they were in another territory, and they had no way. In other words, they were aliens from Israel. Now, with all that in mind, go back with me to Genesis, and look in Genesis 12. Much of this will be very familiar to you. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I'll make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I'll bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now that is a promise. It is a basic promise. I don't give a flip whether people make a big deal about whether it's a promise or a covenant. It makes me know, never mind. I don't care anything about that. God promised that any Gentile that would bless the seed of Abraham, God would bless. Any Gentile that cursed the seed of Abraham, God would curse. Call it a covenant if you want. Call it a promise if you want. I don't care. Whatever you call it, there it is. And unless God did it that way, then he was going to lie, unless he made provision to do otherwise. Now turn to Genesis chapter 15. In Genesis chapter 15, God had promised Abraham a special seed. And Abraham didn't know how this is going to be. And so God Almighty tells him in verse 5, he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. All right, they're going to be numerous. Verse 6, he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I'm the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat, and on, and so he offers a sacrifice there. Now come to verse 12. When the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo and horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land, wrong. It turns out to be Egypt. That is not theirs. And shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward shall they come out with great substance. They shall go. Thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. And on verse 18, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, and on and on and on. All right, they did go into Egypt, and God Almighty did redeem them out. Now turn to Exodus, and look at Exodus chapter 19. They came out of Egypt, and they came to Mount Sinai. Now, in Exodus chapter 19, verse 3, Exodus 19, verse 3, and Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you should be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you should be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. In other words, God Almighty then would make Israel a kingdom of priests, a nation of priests, and they would serve the Lord in that capacity. And any Gentile that blessed Israel, God would bless through that priesthood. Turn to Exodus chapter 20. In Exodus 20, he tells them about no other gods and on and on and on. Verse 6, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. In other words, Gentiles then. And there were Gentiles among Israel at that time. The Gentiles that kept God Almighty's commandments, kept God Almighty's covenant, God would bless. Turn, please, to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 31:11. When all Israel has come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women, children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law. Go back to chapter 4, Deuteronomy 4, verse 12. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only you heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments. And he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. That is absolutely unmistakable. The covenant is on the tables of stone, and that's the law. Look in chapter 5. In chapter 5, verse 2. Chapter 5, verse 2. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord made not his covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us, who are all of us here alive this day. The Lord talked with you face to face, the mouth of the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at that time, and on and on and on. It is unmistakable. The covenant is clear. Now go back with me, please, to Exodus chapter 12. Notice in verse 37. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men beside children, and a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle. All right, go to verse 43. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof, but every man's servant that is bought for money. When thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. Now I want to ask you, once he is circumcised, is he a stranger? No, that's obvious. Anybody that believes English can't miss that. Verse 43 again. The Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. Thou shalt no stranger eat thereof, but every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. A foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. And on and on and on. Now, there is a situation that exists in the Word of God here that some people that I've read their little articles they write, and everyone I'm trying to prove some point and get a following, I guess, and they've missed something here somewhere. They've missed the difference in Israel reigning in the millennium as compared to nations who are being reigned over. It is one thing to reign. It is another thing to be ruled. In other words, Israel is going to reign. Israel is going to be the head nation. They're going to be the head, not the tail. They're going to be the head honcho. The 12 apostles are going to reign over Israel. Who is Israel? Israel will be those that were born the nature of a Jew and those that are circumcised. In other words, they have become a part of Israel by circumcision. But among them will be strangers at that time. Now, turn please to Isaiah. And look in Isaiah chapter 61. The beginning of the chapter is by, it's about the Lord at his coming. And then the vengeance at the second coming. Now notice in verse 4. And they shall build the old waste. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the waste cities, the desolation of many generations, and strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. And the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your wine dressers. And you shall be named the priest of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall you boast yourselves. Turn please to Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah 2:1. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways. We shall walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and he shall judge among the nations. And on and on it goes. Turn please to Zechariah. All right, in Zechariah chapter 8, verse 20. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall come to pass that there shall come people and the inhabitants of many cities. And the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord, and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem, and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all language of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that's a Jew, saying, we'll go with you. We've heard that God is with you. Turn, please, to Matthew. Matthew 25:31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. The judgment, as in Isaiah chapter 2 that we read about. Verse 32, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered, and fed thee, a thirst, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? When saw we thee sick, and in prison, and came unto thee? The king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. In other words, those nations then that bless Israel are going into the kingdom. They are not Israel. They are not circumcised. They are not the church. They are not the body of Christ. They're nations. Now I want to put over here, and I'm going to say, okay, right here represents Israel as a nation back there. And they are a kingdom of priests, and we'll call them Jews. Down here are the Gentiles at that time. There was a covenant. That covenant is called a law. That covenant is given to Israel. And Israel is to be a kingdom of priests. The mixed multitude that came up out of Egypt for them to eat of the Passover, for them to perform the things and be a part of the things that was given directly to Israel, they have to be circumcised. That is clear in Exodus chapter 12. But they could bless Israel and keep the law of Israel, abide by the commandments and the covenants of Israel and whatever, and they would gather with Israel when Israel was gathered together, as in Deuteronomy chapter 31. The law would be read in their ears. The priesthood would offer the sacrificial offerings and make atonement for Israel. And atonement would be made for those Gentiles who blessed Israel, believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and so forth. They would be, as it were, servants to Israel. In other words, Israel, according to the book of Deuteronomy, Israel would be the head, they would be the tail, so to speak. All right, but the Israelites turned away from the covenant and turned to the idols of the Gentiles. God sent the prophets unto them, but they wouldn't obey the prophets. And so finally John the Baptist came unto them, and they stood idly by as John the Baptist was killed. Jesus Christ came unto them, and Jesus Christ preached repentance unto them, but they didn't repent. Instead, they said, Crucify this man, he is not our king. Now the Bible said through the fall of Israel, salvation came to the Gentiles. In other words, salvation came to the Gentiles in this age in spite of Israel. Now my concern here today is not necessarily as to when, where, or how Israel fell. My concern is the fact that they did. And so Paul said there's no difference. So during this period of time, between the cross and the coming of the Antichrist, there is no difference. Israel is Lo-Ami. There is nobody for you to bless. Hence, you'll find in Ephesians chapter 2, a new creation, and I'm using a term there that I realize some of these highfalutin Bible scholars today are always ready to jump on you, you know, if you just, but it's called a new man. God created something. He didn't born it. He created it. What is it? It is a body made up of Jew and Gentile on equal basis by the cross. Israel as a nation were born unto God out from among the other nations. But the body of Christ were not born unto God. We're adopted and we're new creatures. And there is something that God created according to Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. And it is called a new man. This new man is made up of Jew and Gentile, and the Ephesians were added to that body that is called a new man. And that's what the book of Ephesians is about. But anyway, so Israel then later on is going to repent, and they're going to be exalted again. So I'll come up here, and I'll say, here's Israel in the tribulation. During the tribulation, the time of Antichrist there, there will be some Gentile nations out of this bunch down here who did not hear the gospel of Christ. They did not hear the gospel of the grace of God. And so during the tribulation, when Israel has repented and turned to God, these nations will bless them. And as a result of their blessing of Israel, they're called righteous in the Bible. In Matthew chapter 25, he said, he shall say unto the righteous, so they are righteous, they're righteous by the law. They'll keep the law. They'll believe in Christ. That is, they'll believe that Jesus Christ was crucified, buried, and risen, and he's coming back as the king to reign over Israel, and therefore, they want to be with Israel. Why? Because he is their king. And so, they will bless them. And so, they will go into the kingdom, the thousand-year reign of Christ. Satan will be chained in the bottomless pit. He cannot deceive the nations any longer. Who are those nations? Those that bless the seed of Abraham. God blesses them, and they go into the kingdom along with Israel. Israel will reign as the priest of God, and the nations that do not fight against Jerusalem at the second coming, those nations that bless Israel in the tribulation will go into that kingdom, and they will be blessed of God through the priesthood of Israel, as sacrifices will be offered at that time, according to the book of Ezekiel, and those Gentiles will get advantage of that. But those Ephesians to whom Paul writes are not included in that whatsoever. They are neither circumcised, nor do they bless Israel. There were two ways that a Gentile could get the blessings of God. That is, he could worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He could go up with Israel when they gather together for the atonement and receive the blessing of that. Or that Gentile could be circumcised and become a Jewish proselyte and meet with Israel, eat the Passover when they eat the Passover, go into the temple and worship with them. But these Gentiles of Ephesians 2 don't fit either one of those. Now go back to Ephesians 2 again. In Ephesians chapter 2 verse 11, wherefore remember that ye being in time past, I'm saying that's Acts 19, Gentiles in the flesh. Verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ. Now, Gentiles in the flesh. Please turn to Galatians and look in Galatians chapter 2. Galatians 2:15 says, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. In other words, just as there were Gentiles in the flesh, there were Jews in the flesh. Just as there were Gentiles. You must remember, there were three races of men there, so to speak. There was the black, the white, the yellow. These Ephesians were of the white race of men, and they didn't give a flip about Israel as a nation, nor Israel's God. They had their own God, they worshiped their own God, and they cared nothing about Israel's God during the time of Acts chapter 19. Now go back to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2:11, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. Verse 12, that is that time. You were without Christ. Why were they without Christ? Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. The word commonwealth there, according to the dictionary, is an established form of government united under a system of laws. In other words, a Gentile in the Old Testament scriptures, as we've already seen, could have united with Israel under their system of laws, kept the covenant given to Israel, not circumcision, the covenant given at Mount Sinai, and would have been blessed through Israel. These didn't. Verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. The word stranger, according to the dictionary, is not of one's own family. Foreign, unknown, as coming from another country. Well, then these people were strangers. They were not of Israel in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Webster says it means to separate. It means to be foreign, belonging to another country. All right? The word foreigner means living in a place without civil rights. In other words, having no civil rights with those people of that country. Gentiles in the Old Testament had civil rights with Israel and will in the kingdom by keeping the law of Israel. By keeping the covenants given to Israel, they would partake of those civil rights. The word covenant means an agreement. In the New Testament, it's a will or a testament. It means to cut into or divide. In other words, it's like taking a piece of paper and you write an agreement on that piece of paper and you tear it along a line there, and you give half of that paper to the person to whom the agreement is made, keep the other part. There's no way that anybody could match it up except the person that has the other part of that. Hence, the dividing of the animal sacrifices. The animal sacrifices were divided in the middle. A covenant was made by cutting the animals. They were split. Blood was sacrificed, as in the case of the covenant given at Mount Sinai. It was confirmed with the sacrificial offering of blood. The word promise, an offer, announce one's intentions. Go back to verse 12 again. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens. In other words, foreign, not ally with, aliens from the established form of government of Israel, and strangers, like not a part of that group at all, from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Then I'm saying unto you that these people to whom Paul is writing, the issue between them in this book is not an issue of circumcision versus uncircumcision. It's an issue of being in the covenants of promise and not being in the covenants of promise. Now, one last thought. Starting right here with the salvation of the Apostle Paul, during a period of time in the book of Acts, Paul went into the synagogues and he went unto those that were in the covenants of promise. Say that this represents the book of Acts right here. During that period of time, Paul went to those who were of the promises. Turn in your Bible, please, to Acts 13 and Galatians chapter 4. All right, in Acts chapter 13, notice in verse 26, Paul is in the synagogue. Verse 26, he said, "Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent." In other words, there could be Gentiles in that synagogue that worshiped the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and served God through the nation Israel, and the promises were to them. The word of salvation was sent to them at that time. Go to verse 42. "And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles..." Oh, verse 26. "The Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, men of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them persuaded them to continue in the grace of God." Now turn please to Galatians chapter 4. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 28. Galatians 4:28, "Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise." That is unmistakable. Go back to Ephesians 2 again. Ephesians 2, verse 12. Reference to time past. I'm saying it's Acts 19. "At that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel." If they would have been allied with Israel, they would have had the civil rights of Israel. They would have been in the covenant given at Mount Sinai. They would have been blessed through Israel, but not so. "You're being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." Those Gentiles were saved by the gospel of Christ, by their faith in the fact that Christ died for their sins. They were placed in the body with those who were Jews and Gentiles that made up the corporate body of Christ. In other words, the corporate body of Christ is being formed by the gospel preached through the Apostle Paul in Acts 13, 15, so all along in there. That gospel has been preached. The believers are baptized into one body by the Holy Spirit. And then those Ephesians who had cursed the seed of Abraham, who had cursed Paul and caused him to have to leave Ephesus, those Gentiles have believed that gospel, which is called the gospel of the grace of God. And by that gospel, by the cross of Christ, by his death at Christ, they have been redeemed and placed in that same corporate body that already existed, which is called a new man, which is created by Almighty God.